The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Hello and welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robert Daly, founder and chair of the UK charity Yes to Life that the show is named after. Yes to Life has spent the last 20 years supporting people with cancer in the UK by sharing the science of integrative medicine to help them to help themselves. A lot's changed in the last 20 years, although there could have been a lot more, of course. But one thing that we're lucky to have in far greater quantity are well-qualified practitioners able to provide integrative support through nutrition, exercise and the like. And one of those practitioners is my guest today, naturopath and nutritionist Bridget Hancock. Hi Bridget, very nice to meet you and to get the chance for a chat.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
So I realise that we've actually got a common connection in your mentor, Dr. Zandria Williams. I wanted to start the show by just saying a word or two about her. I remember Zandria arriving at our little office in Wimpole Street the very first year that Yes to Life was set up, sitting down and asking what she could do to help. That was 20 years ago. So she's been a great supporter, a speaker, a radio show guest, a blog writer, much more over the years. And I just want to say it's been a real privilege to know such a skilled and knowledgeable and inspired practitioner. She's done so much. She's an absolute powerhouse right into her old age of support for people with cancer in every way. So I imagine you're on the same page as me on that.
Oh, absolutely. I had such an amazing experience with her for 6 months, you know, when I'd finished training, learning about supplements and what she did and just what amazing woman she really is and her dedication to learning. I mean, I still see her now sometimes in London. I think she's now traveling around in a wheelchair, which is obviously safer, but she's always learning. She's always got a book and she's just got such a vast knowledge and it's just brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely right. So, like many others, I believe your path to training in naturopathy and nutrition and your desire to support others had its roots in your own personal health experiences. Do you want to start out by telling us your story?
Yes, absolutely. So about sort of 15 years ago, I was diagnosed with a chronic kidney disease, stage 3. And the doctors said to me, well, there's really all you can do is just lose weight and stop smoking. And neither of those things really applied to me. So they said, there's nothing you can do. That's it. That's how you are. And I thought, well, stage 5 is dialysis and I'm 40 and this is not where I want to go. So I better have a look at what I had already known, which was my background in pharmacology and physiology, and see what I could do to help myself. So I looked into food and diet and health, and that's how I managed to see that firstly overcome the problem that I had, but also see that others were probably getting the same advice as me. And therefore, right, we could do a lot more. And so that was the start of my my interest in studying further so that I could help others.
Mm, interesting. So you did manage to completely reverse that condition, which is irreversible.
Yeah. Yeah, I had my GFR was 45. So that's, you know, for those that don't know, it's the filtration rate of the kidneys and it should be above 90 and or 80 to 90. And it went down to 45 and dialysis, I think, was 30. So I was really on a downhill slide.
You were.
And I was way too young for that. And, you know, the thing is, we had a really healthy lifestyle. We lived in the country, outdoors. You know, we ate reasonably well, very active, and yet this had happened. So I managed to get it back up to 79, which they said was unusual and not expected. So yeah, it's and it's pretty much ever since. So
fantastic. Yeah, well, it's so great to hear these things. It gives you great faith in the power of the body to rebuild itself to under lots of terrible conditions. And yeah, I mean, you just look at the revolution that's been in type 2 diabetes. Very short time ago, it was just the same thing. Oh, you got it. Tough luck. Here's the first drug. Come back for the next one in a year's time.
Yeah.
And the year after and the year after for another one. Mm. It was just a downhill slope. But you know, you don't have to have it. It's just reversible.
No, that's so true. And, you know, I remember going to a juicing retreat, actually. It was all vegetable juices. And some of the people that were there with me were type 2. And within the week, they'd stopped their medication.
Yeah.
And they were absolutely fine. And they had a case file full of cases of people saying, this is how I arrived. This is what I had. And now I don't have those medications anymore.
Amazing. Great. So I know that when we added Zandria to our website, her collection of acronyms for all her qualifications from Alerty, it needed a second line. It's like we couldn't fit them in. Yeah. She had something like 3 or 4 degrees, didn't she, amongst other things?
Yeah, she's a chemist and she's a very clever woman, yeah.
Anyway, you're pretty highly qualified yourself, I think. What training have you undergone and why did you choose those in particular?
Well, I started originally doing a Bachelor of Science in Australia in my home. And, you know, the subject was pretty broad, but I ended up focusing on pharmacology and physiology. So it was effectively drugs and the effect on the body. That's what really interested me. And then fast forward to having a lot of people in my life that kept cropping up with cancer and getting these very sort of, there is nothing you can do except have the drugs, and then seeing them so unwell, I thought, well, surely if they're healthier, they're going to manage these drugs, you know, far better. So I went on and studied nutrition and then on to do applied functional medicine in clinical practice, which is brilliant. And also lots of yoga and breath work, which also is, you know, a really important component to getting people well because of reducing stress. So all those things have sort of worked together. And then, of course, how do you get people to actually change? And that was where coaching came in. So transformational coaching has really helped there to help people understand why they need to make the changes and what they can expect if they do or if they don't.
Right, so you're a bit of a learnaholic as well, or either that or you caught it. Caught it off as Andrea.
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
as you know, science changes so quickly, and you know, we're always having to keep up and learn because there's something new all the time.
It's true. It's the amount of medical data is doubling in a very short time now. I think it used to take about 100 years or something, but now there's less than a year, I think.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable the rate at which things are changing. You're right. A lot of that's good, of course, because we are finding out a lot of very useful things, which we didn't know before. So alongside your naturopathic practice, you've recently published a book that summarizes much of your thinking on health and well-being, and particularly in relation to cancer. It goes under the maybe counterintuitive but memorable title, Live Like a Lobster, with a subtitle, How to Extend Life, Avoid Disease, Confront Cancer. Yep. So you better explain, what's with the lobsters?
Right. So lobsters can live a very long time. And in fact, there are 200-year-old lobsters. If we're not putting them into nets and eating them, actually, they can live a long time. They don't biologically age. And in fact, you know, they've dissected these animals and also the giant turtles, but to find that the organs are in the same healthy condition as the youthful offspring. So, for example, you know, they could be 200 years old, and yet their organs are still incredibly healthy.
Amazing.
So what we know with lobsters also is that, you know, as we do, on the end of our DNA strands, we have these little socks called telomeres. And as our cells divide, they gradually get less and less. And there's an enzyme that produces more telomeres so that they can keep reproducing and keep the animal young. Now, we don't have that capability, only very early on in our reproductive cells. But lobsters can do that all the time.
Amazing.
And so that's why they don't really age. Mm. So there are things we can do to lengthen them or stop them, I should say, more stop them from shortening as quickly. Mm. So we want to adopt the living like a lobster mentality of how can we actually stop our telomeres from getting shorter and shorter and shorter and taking us on a path quickly towards death and slowing that up. So effectively slowing our biological aging.
Mm. And therefore having a much longer healthy lifespan and not being absolutely decrepit for the last 20 years, which so many people
that's
are.
Right. Yeah, and that's what we want to avoid, isn't it? We want to be really in our later years. Yeah,
the worst.
We've proven that that's possible. So yes, they did dissect a 200-year-old giant turtle and found that the organs were in the same state as their adolescent turtles. And we know that. I mean, there are other contributions as well about living in cold water, which we can't do, fasting for a long period of time, which lobsters do. They fast during the day. But we now know that fasting is quite important as well. So.
Mm. We do. Anyway, it's been quite a learning curve with lobsters. I've got to say, I also got quite shocked to hear they can grow to 5 feet long. I wouldn't like to meet one of those.
No, I do not want to meet one of those. No, exactly. I mean, the only thing that stops them from being as long or as big as they could be, I mean, all of them, why we don't see them all like that, is that they have to shed their shell every time they're getting bigger and bigger. And when they do, that's when they become prey.
Vulnerable. How interesting. Mm-hmm. Extraordinary. Right. So your book seems to me to be a distillation of your thinking in that it is far from being some kind of massive, dense tome. It seems to me that you've tried to say as much in as few words as you can. Can you actually tell me about your thinking behind the book?
Yeah. So originally the book was notes for my clients. And, you know, when a lot of them are not well and undergoing treatment, they don't want to read through dense information. And then I would have clients approaching me that just literally couldn't afford to have help. So I would offer free help to those that I could. But I wanted to put together something that was really simple for them to understand, that wasn't about the knowledge that I have, but more how can I give them information as clearly and succinctly as possible and make it easy for them to understand. Give them a why so that they want to change what they're doing. So that was the background of having short, easy chapters so that they could just take up a little bit of information at a time, even when they felt like it.
Mm, well, it lives up to that description very well, I've got to say. So in the book, you've barely got past the intros. And then on page 31, you invite your readers to have a cup of tea. In fact, you put in several recipes for teas they might want to try. Okay, this is a bit unusual. Why is that there?
Well, because I think we all tend to ignore our own health. And actually, sometimes we need to just sit down, have a cup of tea, and really get stuck into having a look at what's going on. And so I invite the reader to look into what their history has been like. You know, what was their childhood like? What were the parents' relationships like? What was the parents' relationship like before they were born? You know, all the things that have come up during their life that could impact where they've ended up today. And I find with a lot of the clients that I see, there is a history with childhood trauma, or there's been ongoing stress throughout their lives. And when they look at it and we go through all that, so I invite them to go through this and think about it and maybe even take notes in the book. When they look at it, they really realize, wow, you know, we've gone through a lot. This little boy or this little girl went through a lot. And I have clients that will come on and they'll say on a Zoom call and say, oh no, my childhood was fine, you know, absolutely fine. And so we dig a little bit deeper. And then I find out, oh, so your mother left when you were four. You lived with your alcoholic father till you were seven, and you were cooking the meals for the entire family. Okay, that's interesting. You know, or lots of different cases like that where stress has been evident at a very young age. And so that's where I literally ask them to sit down with a cup of tea. We need to really look at what's been going on for you, because we forget about our childhood. we just roll along and we just get through life and we're dealing with, you know, day-to-day things, our present family now, or our jobs and things like that, until we get a disease or an illness. And then it's a shock to many of us. But actually, how do we get here? And then I ask them, they can sort of look into that and perhaps see what area they really need to focus on. Because everyone may have a different area that they need to focus on. Not that all, you know, all the areas I divided up into, you know, about stress and imbalances and nutritional deficiency and detoxification. They're the four pillars that I focus on. But some may need more help with one area than another.
Yeah.
So it is about sitting down, having a cup of tea and having a real deep dive into your life and why you've ended up where you are.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, I think the other element at play in that kind of, oh yeah, my childhood was fine, is that, of course, it was normal for us. Whatever it looks like to somebody from the outside, it's what we didn't expect anything different. We didn't know it should be different even. It's as it was.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's true. And there's been a lot more now, hasn't there, with all this sort of, Peter Levine and Gabor Maté and Bessel van der Kolk have really helped everybody see or dig a little bit deeper into what's going on when it comes to maybe small T trauma, as they call it. You know, it doesn't have to be a major incident for you to have had a bit of a tough time. And then those things all accumulate and then we end up with disease.
Mm.
So, yes, that is one of the things that we...
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, you just mentioned what I want to talk about next is that, yeah, you've divided things up into what you call four pillars. And so, well, you know, how come you have these four pillars? And what's your thinking about how you structure your well-being advice around them?
Yeah, so... I think firstly, we're all most likely nutritionally deficient in some things. I mean, there are not many of us that have gone and had 30 plant points a day for our entire lives. So that's something that we definitely have to look at. But then we also have to look at how well we're detoxifying. We're living in cities and we might have some things that we call genetic SNPs where our liver's not functioning as well as it should be. Or we're perhaps we've got imbalances, like a lot of inflammation in the body and we need to, you know, sort that out. Or we've got high blood sugar. So they're the imbalances that perhaps we want to look at. And then, of course, there's stress and the impact that stress has on the body and the fact that we then can end up with a lowered immune system as a result. So then it means we're not able to fight off disease when it comes. So we look at all those. They're the four areas that I've focused on that I believe if we address those four areas, we've got a really good chance of having the body functioning properly and well. Mm. And invariably, there's something in one of these areas that's not right, if not in all the areas, that there's a problem.
Yeah. So it's interesting. What you're saying earlier is yes, it's a very different picture for different people, depending on A, their makeup, and B, what's actually happened to them in their life. And these
yes, absolutely.
And how they come together. How do you go about investigating, like, which of these pillars are the key ones for any particular individual?
Well, it's interesting because going through their whole, you know, a consultation can be sometimes 2 hours and just going through the whole life history of illnesses and disease and diet and lifestyle and upbringing, it gives me a pretty good idea as to what's going on. And then, of course, there are some pretty effective blood tests that we can do as well that give us an idea. Genova metabolomics test, for example, is great to see really what's going on, you know, if you don't have any antioxidants in your body and how we can support that. So, yeah, or there are stool tests for microbiome. Obviously, gut health is really important in the imbalance section of the body of the pillars. So, yeah, I just go through it with them and then we identify, you know, there's been a history of antibiotic use. For sure, there's going to be gut health problems. So we've got an imbalance there. So we'll deal with that. Or if they've just been, you know, if they've had a history of an eating disorder, then the chances are they're really going to be lacking in vitamin and minerals. And so that's something as well. Or if we've had ongoing stress. But another one, it's interesting. One of the things that's really key that hasn't been necessarily seen as a problem because we think it's perfectly okay is over-exercising. And I've had several clients who are very alpha in their mentality, running businesses, but then they're also running and cycling and it's all go, you know, they don't stop. And then they want to go and party as well. And it's just full on. Their body is just on go, go, go. It's in a high sort of sympathetic state of fight and flight. And they get really ill, really ill. And then now they're told, why don't you fast as well? Because intermittent fasting is brilliant. So now they wake up in the morning and their cortisol levels are high, which is normal. And then they're fasting and they're just having a coffee and they're going for a run or they're spinning or doing, you know, a workout. And we're just driving the stress and the acidity in the body. And so it just really is, you know, another area where there's problems, but yet it's not really talked about.
No, there's a immense things to deal with. There's the kind of modern lifestyle, aren't there? Just going back, they were already polluting the place like mad 50 years ago. We just didn't know it, of course. But, yes, you know, maybe if you go back 100 years, they hadn't got too far with it. And, you know, there were so many things then that were not in place that are now in every of the one of those areas you talked about.
Yep.
You know, the levels of stress, the ideas we have about what's good for us, the toxins in the environment, our food, and you know, all these things, they've all gone up absolutely astronomically. And so the stress angle, I think, is probably maybe one of the worst in a way, because it feels like we've completely normalized the kind of state you just described. I mean, that's somebody who's this exercise-aholic, but there are plenty of other versions of that, where of doing stuff, you know, and being busy, which are unbelievable. And of course, it starts off when you're a teenager or even younger.
Yes.
This sort of driven thing. And I was being told recently in one of my interviews that out of I think it's 72 internet enabled countries that were done a very large survey of mental health, we are actually bottom.
Oh,
the UK is bottom. Can you believe that? I mean, I can believe it actually, but we're living in that. And yet, of course, just like the what you grow up in is kind of normal, would you believe, for us here.
Yeah.
We kind of accept it. It should be a crisis. You know, it should be like, oh, my God, we're doing number one government thing to be addressed. You know, this mental health crisis that we got. But it's been driven massively by forces like the COVID pandemic, the financial situation where young people are growing up with absolutely no prospects of having enough money to buy a home, or they can't get a job, or whatever it is. You know, all these immense things going on, along with social media, is unbelievable, the pressure people are under.
Well, that's true. I mean, the youth and social media, that they're sort of expected to all be incredibly successful, and they don't understand that these are images created of someone's best day that might not be their reality. It's quite shocking. But also the food that they're eating.
Yeah.
I mean, children in cities now are getting, you know, takeaway food, delivery food, food delivery, so they don't have to cook. And, you know, therefore, we've got a massive problem with just the simple basic amino acids, or the vegan movement. You know, let's all be vegan, because one of the American influencers with, you know, I'm not going to mention, like 40 million followers, is a vegan. So we'll all be vegan and eat chips and really poor quality pizzas and rubbish. And now they're not making any, you know, tryptophan or tyrosine. So they've got no dopamine, no serotonin, no feel good hormones in their gut, because they're just not eating. They're not getting the amino acids that they need. That's another thing. I mean, I had a client this morning who's terribly upset, and she feels really low, but that's because she was anorexic and also vegan. So quite possibly she hasn't had the amino acids that she needs in order to make those feel-good hormones that we make in our gut, as we know, mostly, that then travel, you know, via the vagus nerve from the gut to the brain. I think the movement is something like 90% of the movement is up to the brain. So, of course, mental health is greatly deteriorated.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard recently, this was not in this country yet, but of houses and flats being built in Asia with no kitchens. You don't need them anymore.
Wow. Wow. So no digestive enzymes to prepare you for eating your food. Yeah, it's just shocking.
Just comes to the front door. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, back to our four pillars. Do you just want to go into each of those a little bit in a little bit more detail and just say why these things are absolutely key to well-being?
Okay, well, firstly, we've got to, when we look at the balance in the body, you know, we need to have, we have an army of cells in our body that are on alert to see, you know, what's wrong, what's not in balance, and how we can keep the body healthy. And if there's an imbalance in the body and we can't do that because it's overwhelmed with sugar or inflammation, for example, then we've got a problem. Then it's not working. And then the body doesn't signal that there's a problem. If we're lacking nutrients, like we've got a nutritional deficiency, then things like, for example, just to get the energy from food, we need most of the B vitamins. So if we're not getting that from our diet and eating lots of rich vegetables and fruits and nuts and seeds where we're going to get our B vitamins and our minerals, we're not going to convert food into energy, which we also need, not just for energy, but to, well, it's energy to actually run the body so it can run efficiently. And then there's stress. Well, stress causes a lower immunity, and the natural killer cells we have in our body, which we need to protect the body from unwanted cells, are not being produced, are not being stimulated. We don't have natural killer cells acting, looking after us. So the next thing you know, our immunity is depleted. So a lot of the stress that people are going under every time, as you said, looking at social media, not having a prospect for a job, these, we've got a huge population living under an incredible amount of stress, which means they've got lowered immunity. And what is interesting is how everybody's getting more sick than ever. So since COVID, it's interesting. There's always another virus. There's always another illness. This morning I heard all these people are getting flu where they just can't swallow. They can't get out of bed. Out of the blue, this has just occurred. Now, what's been going on? Well, a huge amount of stress for a lot of people. I mean, there may be other reasons as well, but we don't know that. So that's what we do know, is stress lowers our immunity. And we need to get these natural killer cells up and running. So we've got lots of solutions that we can do that actually don't cost us anything to do. Things like just breathing and exercising and walking in nature and all these beautiful things, or doing something you love, whether it's dance or listening to music or painting or drawing, all those things. So that will help reduce our stress. And so that's why it's so important for the stress. And then finally, detoxification, which is also something I'm really, you know, really passionate about us doing this, because we don't look after the liver. And we literally need quite a few components for the liver to do its job. And therefore, if we're not actually making sure the liver can move from one phase to the next, we have a problem. So the first phase of the liver detoxification, everything becomes more toxic. Mm. So if it gets stuck there and it doesn't move to the second phase, we've got a real problem. So we've got to try and help that. And then the next phase, and everything's going through the liver, all the medication, especially with people who are having treatment, all the pollutants, everything that we're dealing with has to go via the liver. And if we don't look after it, it is overworked. And we often hear people have cancer and metastasize to the liver. It happens all the time. So really important to keep the liver running smoothly, knowing whether we've actually are making the things that we need. So, for example, I see a lot of people who are not producing glutathione. They've got a SNP on their gene. They're not producing glutathione. So that's something that's really important when it comes to liver detoxification. So we want to make sure that they've got that so that, you know, they can, everything can move through smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all of those areas are really important. And it's not just one solution. I know a lot of people say, especially with cancer, oh, well, if I just take apricot kernels, or if I just do this, or, there is no just. I think that the body has taken a long time to get to this place. You know, every cell is designed to keep you alive. And it has got to the point where the cells just say, hands up, we can't do anymore. We're just too overwhelmed. It's going to take a long time to undo that again and get back on track, get us back online. So we need to do a lot of things to try and encourage everything to get back into place. So none of the things are particularly complicated. I'm not a big believer in really complex supplementation or anything too rigid or rigid treatments. It's more about, let's get back to basics. Let's make sure we've got all those vitamins and minerals in. The liver's working properly. We're dealing with our stress. We might not be able to make it go away. You know, the difficult job or the financial stress is still going to be there, but it's how we manage it and how we can switch it off. And so if we do all these different things, or balancing the inflammation in the body so we're not, you know, which is a main driver of disease, you know, or reducing the blood sugar, that is also a driver of disease, all these things, if we address them all, we've got a far better chance of doing well and avoiding disease and hopefully, you know, staying well.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
The station that makes you feel good.
In a way, you're saying the way you would approach somebody who has cancer is very similar to the way you'd approach anybody, actually, because you're basically, what you're just trying to do is get people's systems working properly.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And I think more often than not, that actually works really well. Really well.
Right.
And because it is about getting to the basics.
Mm, yeah.
And there's no point taking really like extreme supplementation if you actually are not eating properly, or you haven't addressed your stress, or your inflammation is high in the body, or you're still eating lots of sugar. You know, there's just no point. One thing is not going to solve the problem. Like, I believe this probably the stacking effect that's caused this metabolic problem. We need to actually address all the areas again to try and find out how we can, get as well.
A positive stacking.
Yeah, I think a positive, exactly.
Yeah.
A positive.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Way to...
Okay. So I noticed towards the end you included a section for Dr. Kelly Turner's work on radical remission. So,
yes.
And so why do you feel it was important to do that?
Well, I think, you know, there's a big part of the book that is addressing lifestyle and stress. And I think Dr. Kelly Turner's work, if you look at her reasons for her radical remissions, a lot of them are more addressing the emotional or the spiritual side of things. So, you know, yes, she says, yes, changing your diet, you know, addressing herbs. But a lot of people, it was about intuition. It was about releasing suppressed emotions, increasing positive emotions, social support, lots of friends, you know, connections, deepening spiritual connection, and a purpose, a reason for living, whether it's family, grandchildren, and all those things. So she had her 9 factors. Like 6 of them have nothing to do with what you're eating or what supplements you're taking. They're all about really addressing our emotional, our sort of our spirituality, and, you know, the mind body soul connection is super important. So yeah, and I think that's the reason that I put that in there as well, is because, you know, there is a real drive of people saying, right, well, you know, and we've all we've heard it in the world of cancer, you know, people who have been juicing and they've been eating raw food, and yet they've still got, you know, haven't had a remission. What's going on there? But then you've got somebody like Brandon Bays who had a complete remission from a basketball-sized tumor, because she went and addressed all the emotional and the spiritual side of her life and intuition and calming and yin-like activities rather than this go. Right. So sometimes that, yeah, pushing is not the answer, is that you need to address right. the other side. And a lot of us, especially here in the UK, we don't want to deal with our emotions, our feelings.
No.
Yeah. We've been not. Told not to.
Stiff it's upper like, lip.
Exactly. Stop crying. You'll be okay. Get on with it. It's
yeah,
action.
Absolutely. It's so for the sort of manic doer, yeah, doing lots of juicing and everything else is actually more of the same to a large extent.
It is. Yeah. There has to be a balance.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah.
And juicing is amazing, by the way. Of course, we should juice for sure. You know, we're not saying, yeah, we're going to juice, but also it's important to just sit down and learn to meditate. Hmm. And if you say, I can't meditate, it's boring, it's probably because you need to meditate.
Yeah. I would appreciate that. Yeah. Interesting. So just for anybody who doesn't actually know Kelly Turner's work, that all that information, these nine factors she had in her book, were all culled from about 1,000 radical remission cases, people who lived when they was told they only had a few months to live or whatever, and they actually survived. She went out and she found out what they did that they thought had really made a difference for them. And I think there were something like 80 or 90 different things in her list. But the nine that went into a book were nine that everybody did. So as you realize, these must be super important for everybody to have done them. So a groundbreaking book, and it's really has made a deep impression on the whole weight behind what's called in technical terms psychoneuroimmunology. Because, as you say, so many of the things are not just practical steps at all. So this science of the mind body, you're clearly fully signed up convert to this way of thinking about well-being, and you speak in a way that kind of assumes the need to address health in all these realms, physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual. But still, despite all the science that's out there that demonstrates it is for real, and it's all there, you know, you can see the biochemistry of the mind-body connection. And there's still plenty of people who would maybe think about it as a bit fluffy or nice to have add-on or basically not really serious medicine. So do you want to just explain why you believe that for those who are intent on living well despite a cancer diagnosis, a holistic approach is crucial?
Great. Firstly, can I just say about Kelly's, I just want to add on to Kelly Turner's work, is that what you did say is that they all adopted a predominantly plant-based diet. So I just want to put that out there, which I think is important. And they omitted meat, wheat, sweets, and dairy. And most removed alcohol, but all ceased smoking. So just want to put out there that, as you say, of all those people, that's really what they did when it came to those points, which is really important. I think because what we said before, which is that unless we address all those areas, the body isn't going to function properly. We're not going to make natural killer cells if we don't deal with stress. And those cells are so important to really fight anything in the body that we unwanted cells in the body, for example, cancer cells. So, stress is about how we think. It's an emotional state that we have that causes it. It's, you know, our way of holding on to an issue or a problem. We don't just let it go. So like the animals in the wild that sort of shake it off when they've finished being chased and got away, we just don't. And we're storing it up and it can be those little things. And I think unless we actually deal with those, that is held inside the cells in the body. And so therefore, all the juices and things in the world isn't going to actually necessarily make you better. So addressing that, addressing difficult relationships with family, or perhaps toxic relationships that we're in that we are making us feel bad about ourselves, they have such an impact on the body, ongoing impact, that is just has a huge effect. So we really do need to deal with that. So from a holistic point of view, that in itself is so important. There is no point eating a healthy diet if you haven't detoxified, because if the exits for the food aren't clear, everything's just going to back up. And the liver, things get recirculated around the body. I mean, we already know that estrogen has to be detoxified each day. And if it isn't detoxified, it gets recirculated around into a more toxic form of estrogen. Now, whether it's linked to estrogen-driven cancers in the body, there's a lot of discussion whether it is or isn't. But, you know, that's also so important. If you've got toxic forms of estrogen in your body, it may be that there's a link to breast cancer. It's various, as I said. So that's another reason. So we have to look at all these different things and put them together. If we don't lower the inflammation in the body, we aren't going to get well. So I do believe that it is holistic because you're having to address all the areas.
Yeah, Mark Taylor, who we both know, is an interesting example. Yes. I'm building 2 conferences within this year. And he himself, he says he came from a very skeptical kind of background, very conventional, if you like, and he had a bit of a cancer scare. But then he was encouraged to look outside the box a bit, which he did against his better judgment, and then began to find, oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there. And he got more and more interested. And he tried just about everything. He was out for trying everything. And he realized he could affect his cancer markers and everything, and he could actually control the situation for a while, but then it would go up again, and he'd lost control of it again. And he kept doing this over and over again until the point at which he realized that the stiff upper lip was going to have to go, and he was going to have to look into the other side of the journey, which he'd completely omitted until that point. And lo and behold, he got the fix he was looking for. He got control of the situation.
Got better.
And since then, he's been going bonkers, going around the world, trying out every kind of unconventional mind-body approach you can think of, and become completely convinced about what an absolutely important element it is of the whole recovery process.
Yes. No, absolutely. And when I met him, he'd just done a weekend of cranial sacral treatment.
There you go.
With a friend of mine, actually, and which is quite coincidental. And he thought that was amazing as well. I mean, the one thing that we probably all have in common in this area is that we're always experimenting on ourselves with things to see what's going on. So, you know, it could be peptides, it could be all sorts of things, but there's a lot of experimentation required because, as you said, science is moving so quickly. And I think what was lovely when I did my the functional medicine training, it was me and like 40 doctors.
Right.
That was so inspiring because they all want to know more. They're all wanting to learn. And we've got, you know, a big shift there. And I think even with friends of mine who are doctors who originally would just poo-poo the whole vitamin thing, they now are converted. They don't say much, but they are converted. And they're like, wives will say, you wouldn't believe it. He's taking vitamin D every day. You know, things like that. Yeah. So, we still see a few odd things going on with the medical profession when it comes to supplementation. I think they're the first to say, they poo-poo supplements, a lot of them, and say, oh, they don't work. But then they'll be the first ones to say, just before an operation, please don't have omega-3s. Please don't have any vitamin C when you are having, you know, cancer chemotherapy. And you think, well, hold on. You said it didn't work. So now you think it does. So it's very muddled and muddy in the waters there, but it's certainly heading in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that Rangan Chatterjee effect of lots of doctors, and GPs particularly, wanting to learn functional medicine is a great thing. I think it's going to have a big effect eventually.
Yeah.
All right. So look, we're out of time. It was really interesting. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Bridget. Before you go, do you want to tell the listeners where they can read more about you and what you do?
Yes.
And get your book.
And yes, the book Live Like a Lobster is available online at very well-known book suppliers, whose names I won't mention. So that's great. And that's a really good starting point for people who just want to get some knowledge for themselves. I think it's a great £20 spend that they will have so much knowledge so that they can take control of their own health and they can question a few things that are going on with the decisions that are being made. Otherwise, I'm available, Bridget Louise Nutrition, and I also run fantastic retreat days for people who come out and can have infrared sauna, hyperbaric oxygen, red light therapy, organic juices, and nutritional lunches, and they can ask questions and learn a bit about their own journey and maybe ask questions and try and find out how things can help them. So it also shows some things that they can do at home. That's the idea of the day. I know not everyone owns a sauna, for example, but there are things that they can do that can support their own health journey. So that's the idea of having those days as well. So there are Feel Fab Fridays, and it's all available on my website or Instagram, BridgetLouiseNutrition.com.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope it's been helpful.
Yeah, thank you, Bridget. I'm sure lots of people found that very interesting. So yeah, thanks very much indeed. Bye-bye.
Right, take it. Have a lovely day.
And you.
Bye.
That's all for today. As always, it's been my pleasure to introduce another expert guest to you, and I'll be back at the same time next week with yet another. Remember that all the past 500 plus shows are available via the Yes to Life website. That's yestolife.org.uk, in a searchable format that enables you to find the people and topics that you're interested in. Just click the link to the Yes to Life show that you'll find on the homepage. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join me again for the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.
Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.